Good morning. I hope the extra hour of sleep helped refresh your minds, your bodies. Today we come upon the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. There are normally 34, it could be 33, depending on the year, weeks in Ordinary Time, which means we're coming right to the tail end. The end of the liturgical year, and really to the beginning of the next year, which will be the season of Advent. I know you're all shaking in your boots thinking about that first Christmas storm, the first winter that's coming upon us. But I think it's interesting to see how the readings make a pretty quick shift as we enter into the final weeks of Ordinary Time. They all begin to revolve around and speak to the life after our present reality. They all begin to focus on heaven. Just this past week, we celebrated All Saints' Day on Tuesday, which we call to mind all those who already possess eternal life in heaven. All the saints, those that have been purified and made completely holy. The next day, on Wednesday, we celebrated All Souls' Day. This is where the church commemorates and recalls the reality of all those souls that have died, but that are still in this place of purgation, where they are headed to heaven, but yet have not received a total cleansing of their lives. And so we recall all those that are in purgatory. Both of these feast days, and the church invites us for this entire month of November to remember the dead, press upon us a very potent truth. You were made to live forever. You were made to live forever. There's a song from a band that I like called Mumford and Sons, and it says, "You were made to meet your maker." It's a beautiful truth, a heavy truth. C.S. Lewis has a book kind of speaking to this reality that he called The Weight of Glory. That there's a certain heaviness, not in a negative sense, but in just the immensity of the reality that I, when I was created, was made to live forever. I was speaking in a conversation with one of the parishioners this last week. I don't remember how it came up, but we were talking about the age of animals. That I was specifically brought up a parrot, those one parrots that have the red and blue, really long tails. And I said, "Did you know that these parrots, they live for to be 60, 70 years old?" I had no idea. It's like, man, that's an old bird. And we got to talking, and there's a shark. It's called the Greenland shark. And it can live up to 500 years. That means that if this shark is still living today, at the time that this country was founded, it had already been alive for 200 years. And you begin to kind of imagine, what did this creature experience? What has it gone through? What has it seen in its time? Day after day, year after year, generations coming in and out, this shark has remained. But the truth is, this shark will eventually die. And it will be completely obliterated, no longer exist. But you will always remain. The human soul is an immortal soul. That means from the moment of its creation, the moment of your conception, when God loved you into existence, He made something that will endure for eternity. Animals, plants, this universe, it may exist for billions of years, but eventually it comes to an end. You, think about this, you will always be. The weight of glory. So it poses a very important question. Then what is this all about? Why am I on this earth if it's but a blink of my existence? If I'm going to exist for eternity, what is this whole reality, my 20, 30, 40, 80 years living on this planet, all about? Why am I here? The moment God loved you into existence, He also did another thing. He proposed to you. He loved you. He said, "I love you." And then waits for our response. God, when He created you, said, "I want you to live in eternity with me. You're so important to me, so precious, because I made you in my own image. You will never die. You will always remain. And I want you to experience intimately within my own life. To put frankly, I want you to marry me." But He can't force you to respond. He waits. He waits for you to respond yourself, for you to make the choice. And that's this present life. The years of my existence here, the summation of all my acts, all of my thoughts, what I have chosen, what I have not chosen, accumulates to the point of death, and it is in that package that I present to the Lord my answer. My answer isn't in one word at the point of death. It is the totality of my life which reveals to the Lord my answer. It's the summation of all these years then presented to Him. And either we say, through these ordinary acts every day in my life, "Yes, Lord, I want to marry you." And we say it with great joy, and instantly we go to heaven. We call these people saints. Or there's people, through the summation of their own actions, through what they chose ordinarily, daily, say, "Lord, I would rather have myself over you." These people choose hell. And then there's many of us, most of us, who say, "Yes, Lord, but." And this is where our love is only lukewarm. And so we want it, but not enough. And so we enter into a state of purgation where we need to be purified of all those things we're still attached to. Just so that you know, I'm not making this up, I want to share with you words from Jesus Christ Himself to St. Catherine of Siena. St. Catherine had these interlocutions or visions of our Lord. And she began to write down her conversation with Jesus, which came to be known as her dialogue. And it's a beautiful book, and it speaks about numerous different things, but it's a simple conversation. St. Catherine speaking to our Lord and Jesus' response. And St. Catherine begins to speak about eternal life. And this is Jesus' response to her. "How great is the stupidity of those who make themselves weak in spite of my strengthening and put themselves into the devil's hands. I want you to know then that at the moment of death, because they have put themselves during life under the devil's rule, not by force, but they put themselves voluntarily into his hands. And because they come to the point of death under this perverse rule, they can expect no other judgment but that of their own conscience. They come without hope to eternal damnation. In hate, they grasp at hell in the moment of their death. And even before they possess it, they take hell as their prize. along with their lords, the demons. The just, on the other hand, have lived in charity and die in love. If they have lived perfectly in virtue, enlightened by faith, seen with faith, and trusting completely in the blood of the Lamb, when they come to the point of death, they see the good I have prepared for them. They embrace it with arms of love, reaching out with the grasp of love to me, the supreme and eternal good at the very edge of death. And so they taste eternal life even before they have left their mortal bodies. There are others who have passed through this life and arrive at the point of death only with a commonplace love, and were never perfect. These embrace my mercy with the same light of faith and hope as those who are perfect. But these have this light imperfectly, and because they are imperfect, they reach out for mercy, considering my mercy greater than their own guilt. So no one waits to be judged. All receive their appointed place as they leave this life. They taste it and possess it even before they leave their bodies at the moment of death. The damned in hate and despair, the perfect in love, with the light of faith, trusting in the blood, and the imperfect in mercy, and with the same faith come to the place called purgatory. What is this life all about? Our response. Lastly, in that gospel reading, the Sadducees kind of puffed up in their own pride, trying to trip up our Lord because they don't believe in the resurrection. They pose this almost unanswerable question. Seven brothers, all married to the same woman in heaven, who are they married to? Jesus gives a peculiar answer. You're not married in heaven. You're married in this life, but not in heaven. Well, why? Because you're married to God in heaven. Marriage is a foreshadow, an image, a sign to what eternity will be. And what is it? What is the wedding feast of heaven, as Jesus would always call it? It's the marriage of humanity with divinity. The moment you were created, God proposed to you. What will be your answer?